Thank you, Jesus. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. Amen. That in spite of what is going on the outside, our inward man is in pursuit of him, in pursuit of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so we bless God today. Amen. That regardless of the circumstance of what we can feel or see, we know that his word is working mightily in us at all times. Let us, if you will, look into the message today. Our title today for the message is Holy Living, Lay Hold on Eternal Life. Holy Living, Lay Hold on Eternal Life. And we're going to be using 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. My emphasis is in the 11th verse. Amen. It's the 11th and the 12th verse. It says, "But thou, O man, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, goodness, and faith, love, patience, meekness." And he says in the 12th verse, he said, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses." And he goes on to say in the 13th verse, he said, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." Hallelujah. So today we want to look at what holy living and laying hold on eternal life have in common. Because unless you and I are living, amen, with a focus, with a goal in life, with a purpose, we don't live with the same diligence. When people get jobs, because they get a job, they will show up at that job daily, amen, because of what? We show up because we have a purpose, or we have a goal that we expect to accomplish at the end of a pay period. So we lay hold on that job because we expect to get paid. And the same thing in life, whenever we really do want something, we lay hold. And when I say lay hold, we make adjustments. We do whatever we need to do in our life so that we never lose focus of why we are doing what we're doing. And so the reason why people can get up and go to work, those who work when they really don't feel like it, people go to school when they really don't feel like it, because they've laid hold to, if it has to do with work, they've laid hold to getting a paycheck. If it has to do with school, they've laid hold to getting good grades or passing the class or getting a certificate. So when I say lay hold, I mean that we are willing to adjust whatever need to be adjusted, and we will not let go of what we are doing so that we can accomplish the thing that we've laid hold to. It gives us tenacity. It gives us endurance. It gives us long suffering. When we lay hold upon something, we can go through anything to see it to the end. Hallelujah. So then when we pursue a life of holy living, and that is that we have been focused on laying hold on eternal life, being focused on laying hold on eternal life, well, it is the utmost requirement. So if you and I are pursuing a life of holiness, we have to keep our focus and lay hold on eternal life, because it's a requirement. It's another requirement that we've learned things that we must be conscious, aware of the presence of the Lord at all times. Well, we have to have a goal, a purpose in which we are pursuing in order to live holy. And one of those things is that we lay hold to eternal life. In other words, we are looking to live, spend eternity with the Lord. So having a determined desire to go to heaven, as most of us do, for all eternity, is the driving force behind the life that is set apart for God's purpose. So one of the things that drives us or calls us to pursue living holy is because we understand that it is that living holy is what calls us, or when we lay hold on eternal life, we will pursue holiness. And so It's impossible for me to not to have a holy life, for you to not to have a holy life, if we don't pursue land hold on eternal life. Because we like, listen, I want to go to heaven. I want to spend eternity, amen, with the Lord. Hallelujah. So what happens is when we truly lay hands on eternal life, we have to, first of all, as we go forth in this message or this teaching, we need to ask ourselves a very important question. Am I truly laying hold on eternal life? Are we really laying hold on eternal life? Is eternal life in our focus? Is our eternal life what we really are pursuing? Are we just saying that we're Christians kind of going through the day and, you know, go to church when it's time to go to church, or say that we're Christian, we read our Bible, we may pray, but have we laid hold to eternal life? See, the pursuit of holy living is not merely a checklist of do's and don'ts, but it's a divine calling that transforms our heart, and it will cause our path to be directed towards eternal glory that we see that is awaiting us when we go to heaven. So when we talk about holy living, we're talking about a life that is intentionally set apart for God's purpose. And I know I kind of give the definition for holy living in every message, because we need to know that we are not just told to be holy. We are encouraged to live holy or pursue a holy life. Hallelujah. So what I mean by that is we have to be willing to live in such a way that our thoughts, our actions, and our desires reflect that we have faith in Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, but just as he who called us is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. It says for us to be holy because he is holy. So then let us see in that in pursuit of a holy life, the point that I'm trying to make is we need to be pursuing a holy life. God asks us to be holy as he is holy. So our holiness is not about avoiding sin only. It's about actively pursuing a life that honors God. So, and our motivation for this pursuit, this pursuit of a life that honors God, is the promise of eternal life. So when we have a determined desire to go to heaven, what happens is we will find a driving force within us that compels us to live according to God's word. We will live in a way that shows that we are set apart for something far greater than ourselves, that we're set apart for the Lord. Hallelujah. However, we need to know that in this pursuit of the Lord, in this pursuit of holy living, and laying hold on eternal life, we do have an enemy. And in Ephesians the 6th chapter, amen, Ephesians the 6th chapter, the Bible tells us, amen, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, when we look at the type of enemy that we are having to call us to work, that are working to cause us to lose our grip after we lay hold on eternal life, we need to know that we are facing some serious enemies here. So then what we need to do, we need to equip ourselves or be equipped with the armor of God. When the enemy will launch his attacks aimed at our faith, the devil was going to launch attacks against us aimed at our faith, aimed at our peace, aimed at our hope. We got to take heart that when we lay hold on eternal life, what happens is our faith will act as a shield, and it will quench every fiery dart that the enemy would bring our way. So we need to know that, amen, that in life, as we go through life, let us know that one of the things that will help us in our pursuit of holy living is laying hold to eternal life. In other words, having a goal in our life that will cause us to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. And so I remember that, you know, people used to put on certain armor or do certain things. I remember when people used to get in fights and girls used to put grease on their face and do all kind of stuff so they wouldn't get their face scratched and, you know, slick back their hair or do all kind of stuff so that they would do different things. And, you know, people would put on different things. Well, the thing that causes us to be able to stand against the fiery darts of the devil is that we have to lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. Other than that, the devil will always have us pulverized, have us up today, down tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow. However, when we lay hold on eternal life, it gives us what we need to resist the enemy and cause him to flee. Hallelujah. It gives us what we need to resist the devil and cause us to flee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us look, if you will, at the third verse of 1 Timothy, the sixth chapter. The third verse. Let's begin at the first verse. I want to use this chapter today as my focal point. Amen. It says, let as many servants as are under yoke count their own master worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be blasphemed not. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exalt. I believe what Paul was saying to Timothy in this, he was like, listen, don't get involved in all of that social stuff and all of that political stuff. You know, yes, I believe Paul desired that people did not have slaves or that Christians who were slaves not be slaves. However, but what he was telling Timothy was in this, I believe what he was saying, Timothy, what's going to free these people is they get to know Christ, the master and the slave, that they get to know Christ. So lay hold to eternal life and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel is what I believe that he was saying, because look what he says in the third verse. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he says, this person, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife, railing, evil submission, and perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute to the truth, supposing to gain is godliness. From such, he says, turn away. He said, Timothy, don't you get caught up in all that's going on around you. There's a lot of things that's going to be taking place, but he was telling him to fix his eyes on things above. He was telling him to lay hold to eternal life. Amen. Glory to God. And so we too are surrounded by all kind of teachings and everything. And one of the things that I noticed that about, it was talking about being rich and perverse disputing all kind of questions and things that really don't matter. A lot of times we get involved in political things. We get involved in debates and questions and different things and get our mind distracted off of the holiness of God and pursuing a holy life by laying hold to eternal life. So let us not, as Paul was encouraging Timothy, he was saying, don't you let that kind of stuff move you. He told him in the sixth verse, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And then he goes on to say in the eighth verse, he says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. It says, for the love of money is the root of evil. Amen. Root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and piercing themselves through with many sorrow. But he says, die, O man. He said, but die, O man of God. He said, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Amen. whereunto ye thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. Now, this is what Paul, he was saying to Timothy, and I believe it applied to me. I believe it applied to you as well, that he was showing all of the different things that was going on. And he was saying one of the things that drive people is a desire to get more money, to get more status, to get, you know, live in a better house, a better neighborhood, or just have more money. And he said that we need to learn to be content. It doesn't say that we don't try to better ourselves or do things better. But he was saying, don't let these things distract us from laying hold to eternal life. Because when you and I lay hold to eternal life, we are not going to let anything rob us of that eternal life. We're not going to let anything get in the way of us pursuing that eternal life. So when we are living holy, we are basically saying that I have laid hold on eternal life, and I'm going to live my life in such a way that I will obtain the prize. Paul talked about that he fought a good fight. He finished his course. There's a prize laid up for him. So here he's telling Timothy that, listen, fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold to the things of God. Hallelujah. And so that's what we want to do. That's what I believe Holy Spirit is focused on today. Amen. And we see that Paul is speaking plainly. He urges us to fix our eyes on the ultimate goal of our faith. He called Timothy to lay hold on eternal life. And I say this is not just a passive suggestion. It is an imperative, or it's an important call to action. We cannot afford to be distracted by the affairs of this world. We cannot afford to be distracted by the cares that we seek to that seek to pull us away from our divine purpose. And our divine purpose is heaven. We decide to go to heaven. We don't just decide to go stand before the Lord, amen, on the day of judgment. We desire that he will welcome us in. And so we have to not let the cares and affairs of this world get us distracted from our pursuit or our divine purpose. Hallelujah. So even in Paul's, even in Philippians, the third chapter and about verse 13, Paul again say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this thing I do. But this one thing I do. He says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. And he went on to say, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, when we lay hand on eternal life, we are reminded of our ultimate destination. And this assurance will always cause us to have a longing that will challenge us to live a holy life in a world that often promote the contrary. We live in a world that promote anything but holy living. As a matter of fact, a lot of churches don't promote the holiness of God. A lot of Christians don't promote the holiness of God. We don't do all that we can, amen, to keep our focus on him and the fact that he's holy. So the more we focus on eternity, the more we lay hold on eternal life, amen, the clearer our focus become, or our journey become, or our path become in our daily lives. So daily we will be living in such a way, amen, that we are not letting nothing steal our eternity. We are laying hold on eternal life. You know, I think about in the Old Testament when the gentleman wrestled with the Lord. He wrestled with the Lord and he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He said, I'm not going to let you go. He wrestled. He laid hold on the Lord. And that's how we have to do. We have to lay hold on eternal life until that eternal life is manifest in heaven. So every day of our life, we need to live as though there is an enemy. There is a spiritual thief that is trying to steal our eternal life. And we need to fight the good fight of faith and be able to quench whatsoever the enemy bring against us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we're living with purpose in this life, when we're living with purpose every day, amen, we have to know that it is this promise, it's this eternal promise. When we look at the promise that God made us for eternal life, and we'll know that it's not just for the future. Jesus said in John, the 10th chapter, and around the 10th verse, he said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So living holy lives bring us the abundance of life today as well as eternal life in tomorrow. Hallelujah. Or in eternity. So engaging in this divine purpose, when we engage in a pursuit of holy living, it brings fulfillment and peace. And what happens is, no matter what we're going through, no matter what is happening, this pursuit of holy living and the peace that comes with it, amen, it will help us to be able to rise above all the fiery darts of the devil, rise above all the negative circumstance and situation that we're living in. Even though we don't always see things the way we would like them to see, we would like to see them, and things are not always how we would like them to be. I tell you, but when we are pursuing a holy life, we just learn to make adjustments, Sometimes those adjustments is maybe once or twice a day. And sometimes those adjustments is 100 times a day. But what we are willing to do is whatever I need to do to come into a place to where God is glorified in my life, whatever I need to do to lay hold on eternity, lay hold on eternal. In other words, whatever I need to do to keep me in the race, to keep me looking toward the hill from which cometh my help, knowing my help cometh from the Lord, that keeps me with my mind stayed on things above and not on things beneath. We must be willing to fight the good fight of faith and let nothing steal our eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. So, as I said, Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. While we're looking at eternity, our eternal life, we are also desiring to live the best life in this world or in this place that we're living in this earth. Amen. And so Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. A life here of peace, joy, victory. Amen. It also going to come with some warring, some principalities and powers coming with us, against us, but know that we are never alone. As we learned in a previous message, is that when we acknowledge the presence of God, we can live in perfect peace. We can have that peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. In the here and the now. We don't have to wait for eternity to experience certain things. Amen. So, but what causes us to experience abundant life here is that we're focused on eternal life, that we're laying hold on eternal life. And because of we are laying hold on eternal life, we do what we need to do in this life while we're in this time, living in such a way that we experience the abundance of living a holy life in the now, in the here and now, and then experience eternity. Amen. Whenever we go before the Lord. Hallelujah. So holy living, it's about transformation. It's about reflecting the light of Christ in our life, in our communities, in our families, in our workplace. Nowhere we go, we are a reflection of the holiness of God. Hallelujah. It's about being agents of change, agents of hope, agents of love. See, when we embody the values of heaven, when we lay hold to eternal life, we become beacons that guide others towards the truth of the gospel. As Paul was saying with Timothy, he said, keep your focus, man. Keep your focus. He says, whatsoever you do, in the 11th verse of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, he says, but die, O man, flee these things and follow after righteousness, goodness, faith, love, meekness, patient meekness. He says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. And then in the 13th verse, he says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good profession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and the only propitiate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only have immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power forever, everlasting. Amen. Now look what he says in the 17th verse. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. He says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We see that again. We do things, amen, led by the Spirit of the Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit, obeying God's word, so that we may lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says in the 20th verse, he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling and oppositions of science, falsely so called. And then he says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. He said, grace be with thee. Amen. So then he want us, amen, as we look at this lesson, living holy, lay hold on eternal life. And we go back to the beginning before we close. Are we laying hold on eternal life? Would God say that our actions, that our lifestyle, that the way we live, the way we talk, the way we act, are we living like we truly want to go to heaven? Are we living like we see eternity? Are we living like we have laid hold on eternity? When you lay hold on something, that means you grip it, you grab it. And you don't just grab it, you lay hold on it in such a way that you don't let it go. So I believe what Paul was trying to share with Timothy and us is that whenever we are living holy, it is because we have laid hold on eternal life. So therefore, we are like, I'm going to live in such a way that I make the destination, that I get to my destination, that we're going to live for eternity. It's just where we're going to live at. And I believe that, glory to God, Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And the Bible tells us that God don't decide that no man would perish. So let us live like we have laid hold to eternal life. So as we conclude, as we close on today, let us remember that laying hold on eternal life is a walk or a journey best lived out in fellowship and in a place of accountability. A lot of us are not accountable to people. We must fellowship with other saints, encourage other saints, and let other saints build us up. And as we build them up, amen, and we must be willing to be accountable. Hallelujah. And we must have a prayer life. We must have a real prayer life. So let us challenge one another to pursue holiness and support one another as, you know, we are on this divine mission, because we all are in a war. And so one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. So let us do what we can, led of the Holy Spirit, to help our brothers and our sisters in this pursuit of holy living. Amen. Because of their desire to experience life and experience it more abundantly and experience eternal life. I don't think none of us witness to people because we don't want them to experience eternal life. We don't want them to just be saved. At least if that's the case, then that we can, I can see why people can be in trouble. If only thing that we are telling them that they can be saved, but we are not telling them about laying hold on eternal life. Amen. And what will happen if they don't lay hold on eternal life? In other words, We show people that God so loved them. We show them that they got hope Amen. And we show them that not only did they have hope now, but would they have hope for eternity. Hallelujah. And when we remember that we have hope for eternity, we will more easily lay hands on eternal life because we are pursuing a life of holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I ask you today, what steps are you willing to take to lay hold on eternal life? What steps? You ask yourself that question, write it down, whatever. What steps am I willing to make or take, amen, to lay hold of on eternal life? How will you live differently? How will we live differently? How will I live differently because of the hope that I have in Christ? Because of the hope that you have in Christ, what are you going to do different after this? Remember now, we talked about how we must savor the word of God. When we hear God's word, amen, we need to savor it. In other words, we need to apply it immediately to our life, not something that one day, no, God's word is quick. Amen. It is now. It is a present word. Amen. In our life. And so God is telling us to look at land hold to eternal life. We learn about his presence. Amen. And being aware of his presence. Are we aware of God's presence to the place to where it's like, Lord, you put me in this earth. What all do you want me to experience? What all do you want me to do? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so when we do this, when we do this, ask ourselves, what steps do I need to take to lay hold on eternal life? And then how will I live? Not what I need to do, but how will I live? In other words, we're already prophetically saying that we are going to change something. So how will I live differently this week because of the hope that I have in Christ? Hallelujah. And because of this hope, there should be a change. Hallelujah. And so, because we learned a couple of messages back that a lot of people, even though they're saved, they have not learned Christ. Well, we have a hope. We're going to pursue holy living. Amen. Glory to God. By laying hold on eternal life. And this is going to involve us taking some steps to lay hold on eternal life and be willing to make adjustment. What is I'm going to do differently this week? When I'm looking at this week coming, we should only look at a day at a time. But what is I'm going to do differently today that shows Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. That I thank him for the hope that I have in him. So let this be the way that we pray. Let us pray accordingly. Let us pray a prayer that stirs our heart towards holiness, that propel our spiritual warfare and propel us towards our heavenly calling. May we all strive to say with conviction. And we want to say this with conviction. This one thing I do. I lay hold on eternal life and I will live my life to the glory of God. Hallelujah. This is my conviction. And I pray that, amen, glory to God, that every Christian will say this. This one thing I do. I lay hold on eternal life. This one thing I do. This one thing I do is lay hold on eternal life. And I will live my life. Hallelujah. According to the commandments of God, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So, Lord, with the help of Holy Spirit, I pray today that I will allow Holy Spirit to cause me to live differently, to show that I'm laying hold on eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.